All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn. What's up?
What's up?
So listen, before we get started,
yeah.
Happy holidays.
Oh.
Today is Eid al-Fitr.
Okay.
Fitter? Yeah, it's the end of the fast. The end of the Ramadan fast for our Muslim friends. They've been eating only at night. You can't eat between sunup and sundown.
And
now they can, I guess, eat. I don't know if they have to wait till sundown tonight. I'll have to ask.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask around.
But after today.
But after today, it's all hands on deck.
Yeah, like, give me the food. Give it to me now.
Dig in.
Awesome.
Awesome. So yeah, so it's exciting. You know, it's always fun doing a podcast on a holiday.
Right.
Yeah, two weeks in a row.
Yeah.
There you go.
Man, I feel like we got a lot of stuff to talk about
we
today.
We do. I got some problems.
Uh-oh. Oh, for the new segment. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to put it on here.
Yep, I got them on there.
Okay. All right. Here's what I got for some. Right. You know, some things are eternal.
Some things can just go on forever.
Right. But Indiana Jones.
Not so much.
Not so much. Harrison Ford thinks Indiana Jones should die with him. He should be the only one to play him. Even though, isn't there been like four other people to play him? Young Indy.
Should we just add this to my list of problems? Here's my problem with this. My problem is, who was the, do you, maybe you know this because you recently studied up on it. Who played the very first James Bond?
Sean Connery. Yeah.
Imagine if Sean Connery, who back then was, he's an iconic legend. I'm not trying to take away from him. But back then he was even bigger and more so-called powerful in Hollywood. Imagine if he declared, like, when I die, there'll be no more James Bonds because nobody could be James Bond except for me. Like, what a tragedy. We would have lost an entire, like, I just call a foul on this. I think this is the arrogance beyond arrogance. This is classic. This is a classic case of why people hate Hollywood.
Right. He should be actively seeking out his successor instead.
Right.
That's my, and it's too bad they didn't get on this horse earlier, because Bradley Cooper looks the role and could have easily been.
Well, remember, weren't they trying to groom Shia Beefcake to do it?
Yeah, but I don't know if you remember that movie.
He melted down.
Yeah.
I don't remember that movie.
Exactly. You don't want to remember that movie. It's so bad. I think we're against this.
We are against this.
So,
and it's interesting because I'm totally against it with no reservations.
Right.
But it's so hard because I love Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's legendary. He's been in a lot of my very favorite movies, including Indiana Jones.
The only way that I can be on board with this line of thinking is if they go the route that they started to go with Shia and they do one more movie where he teaches someone else.
Okay.
And he brings someone else on to replace. Like, it's like a hand-me-down.
We call that the Stallone method.
Yeah.
That's what Stallone's doing with Balboa, with Rocky
and
Creed. Like, I guess I could be okay with what Harrison Ford's saying if, before he dies, he makes a movie where they transition the whole thing to the next Indiana Jones.
Right.
And then that guy, at the end of his or her career, maybe there's an Indiana Jonette. Indiana Joni.
Because the last name signifies the gender.
You don't know.
I'm sorry. This universe, that's how it works.
All right. We got bigger, redder news.
Bigger news?
Yeah.
Redder news? What? Tell me, please.
I assume when you say Clifford is getting a reboot, you're talking about Clifford the Big Red Dog.
You know it.
Dope. Count me in, man.
And apparently from what I was reading, the Clifford is a dog that was experimented on and they save, and then they're trying to keep them from, like, the lab wants him back. But the family is like, he can be our dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a member of our family.
Right. Exactly.
He's family, you know.
As big as a house.
I got a question for you. What do you mean reboot? I did not. I was not aware that there was a first.
There was a Clifford movie.
There was?
There? Well, it was marketed in what I read as a reboot.
Okay.
My Clifford knowledge only goes so far.
I should be up to speed on this because I raised two kids with Clifford. We were a big Clifford family. And I know there was a video, but I can't imagine that's what they're talking about. This goofy little cartoon on VHS that we watched.
I feel like there was at least one live action.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it was good, but it exists.
Okay.
It exists. Look, I'm going to just skip right to the big...
Big news.
The big, the hard-hitting news.
Because that's what we're all about.
Yeah.
Journalists. We are.
Suicide Squad. I got two things to say.
Okay.
Everyone was waiting for this. Joel Kinnaman is confirmed to reprise his role as Rick Flagg, meaning that this is not a reboot, but a continuation of the Suicide Squad universe.
You know what I keep thinking about?
What?
Who is going to play Bronze Tiger? That's what's keeping me awake at night.
Who is going to play? That's the other set of news. Rumored Idris Elba is going to play Bronze Tiger.
Ichabod Elba.
Ichabod Elba.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't even know who Bronze Tiger is.
This has gone so far downhill that now I'm almost like I'm back to square one. Like maybe I do want to see this movie.
It's so hard to. I don't even. It's like, what is this movie? But those were the two big Suicide Squad news. And I know. That's basically all you live for.
Yeah. All right. Snow White.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
They're going to do Snow, but who's directing?
Well, rumor has it, I guess it's not rumor, but Mark Webb.
From The Amazing Spider-Man.
From The Amazing Spider-Man. Looks like he's going to direct it. Now, you're a pretty hardcore Spider. You have opinions about Spider-Man.
I do have opinions.
Opinion. Opinion. So tell us, what's your thought on Mark Webb? Directing Snow White, a live-action Snow White. Do we have a date on this?
Not that I'm aware
of. Let me guess, spring of 21.
Probably. I'm fine with this. I mean, they've done what they did Alice in Wonderland. They did, what was the other one? The Cinderella, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, they've done them.
You're talking they being Disney.
Disney, yeah.
I mean.
So why not? Yeah. Why not Snow White? Snow White's due, of all of them, Snow White is the least, like, touched.
Yeah.
So why not? Yeah.
I'm 100% on board.
Yeah, I'm all for it. And Mark Webb, I think he does romantic comedy and, like, this kind of stuff well, if I remember correctly from his other work.
Okay.
The Amazing Spider-Man. I don't know how much of it's his fault and how much is Sony's fault.
Oh, that's fair.
That's the problem.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Black Widow has begun production in Norway.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. I'm really curious about this movie. Where it lies and...
Why? I'm excited for it. I'm totally excited for it. And when we were watching Avengers, I think I said this to you before, I was wondering why she hasn't gotten... her own movie yet. Why did it take so long? Do you know? Do you have a thought on that?
She's a woman. I think that they didn't think a woman superhero would do well.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
They're waiting for Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel. And
it's a totally stupid thing, but I really honestly feel like that marketing-wise, they just didn't think it would do well, which is dumb because she's a great character. And then you look at movies like Atomic Blonde or...
Anna.
Anna looks like it could be this movie. Easy. You know, it's the same type of character. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't want her playing a young version of herself. I think I would rather, like, maybe stuff that happened during the 5 years or something, when she was, like, kind of running Avengers or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that could be cool, right? You know, just...
Mid-snap.
Yeah, mid-snap.
That's cool. I didn't really think about that. That's a rich period that they can mine for storylines.
Right. And it doesn't have to be like world-ending, devastating stuff because it's already apocalyptic type.
Right.
It's just dealing. Your heroes are already down and they're not going to get up at the end. They just have to deal with this crap coming their way. Yeah. That could be pretty cool. So, New Mutants. It's still happening.
Oh.
And they're going to be doing the reshoots. This movie was filmed like 2 years ago.
I was going to say, I remember playing a trailer for this years ago.
Yeah. And it's just been like, we're going to do reshoots, and nothing's happening. Like, if they're doing reshoots, like, does Mossy Williams even look like herself anymore? Like, do any of these kids look like themselves? They're all adults now. And they were playing teenagers. I don't know. I just don't understand. If it's not out by now, how could it possibly be good?
Well, I mean, I feel like that sort of wraps up our discussion of the New Mutants. Yeah. I think that's pretty succinct. But I'll just say, like, as a rule, like, I don't really care about this franchise. Maybe I should, but I, for whatever reason, I just don't. It's not really on my radar. I wasn't excited about it in the first place. But I'll just agree with you and say, like, if I was excited about this, I'd be really bummed that, you know, it's getting strung out, because that is like a lineup of red flags.
No, wait a minute. You're not excited about this franchise. Does that mean you're not excited about X-Men in general? Or you're not excited about New Mutants?
I think more specifically, I'm not excited about New Mutants. But I will be honest with you and say that X-Men in general for me is like a notch or two below all the other superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. So if this, in a sense, is a notch or two below the X-Men.
Right.
Then I'm kind of like, okay, I'll watch it when it comes out. I look forward to seeing it. All right, here's the analogy. It's like taking the SATs. The New Mutants is to X-Men as Dark Phoenix is to Avengers.
Okay.
Like, I'm looking forward to seeing it. We'll talk about it a little while later in this show, but I'm not, like, jacked up. And if it was suddenly, like, pulled or something, I wouldn't be sad.
My question is, Disney bought Fox, right? And they're ending the word on the street is that X-Men is done after Dark Phoenix. Why even bother with this movie if Fox didn't even want to put it out before Disney bought them? Why?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a lot of problems with this, and I feel like this movie is going to get dumped. It's going to be like a March release or, you know, a February release.
Yeah.
And
well, it's supposed to be horror. So I would think maybe
September.
October, like the midst of the horror movies just kind of snuck in there.
They're going to slip it right on out there, and we're going to play it, and it's going to open to $16 million and it'll go away in 4 weeks.
And then cue the meme of Pikachu with the, like, when they see how bad it does.
Right.
All right, let's keep it in the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
But switch it over to the positive side. Rumors of Keanu Reeves will be in Eternals with, well, who else was rumored for that? Angelina Jolie. Yeah. Some other people.
I'm all in on this. I think this looks really great. I think it looks fresh, sort of different, but still with that sort of excitement. And yeah, I'm on board. And I think we've talked about this before. In my opinion, I'm sort of back on board with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, me too. I think he went from like trying to be serious or being goofy to trying to be really serious and be like an action star to being an action star that realizes that he's a parody of himself. And now he just parodies himself. And like, well, like I've only seen the trailer for the movie we're going to talk about later, the Always Be My Maybe, where he plays himself, but a ridiculous version of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look at it a little differently. I feel like the way you looked at it was a little harsh.
Well, I just think you got to be able to laugh at yourself. Like kind of, I mean, Stallone sort of did the same thing too with Expendables, you know.
I don't even know what to say about Expendables. Expendables was All right, guys, let's get a bunch of paychecks and blow stuff up. And right? I mean, am I wrong?
No. No, you're not wrong. But all at the same time, I like all three of them for right. how horrible they are.
All right, here's what I think about Keanu Reeves. I see it in a little more positive light. I think that over the last few years, he has just become, he appears to me to becoming a little more comfortable just being who he is.
Okay.
Being a little more true to himself. I'm not trying to be, you know, this incredible range, dramatic actor, but I'm more than just this, you know, okay. action star.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Okay.
But yeah. a little bit more like making fun of him.
Yeah. I will agree, and I think this is what makes me feel really good about him. I didn't want to say it, but since you already let it out of the bag, that Keanu Reeves has a great cameo in yeah. Always Be My Maybe.
Well, it's in the trailer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I never saw the trailer. Yeah. I just watched it.
That's why I know.
And it was so great watching it, not knowing he was coming, and then all of a sudden there he is. And he was amazing in this movie. And in this movie, he has a very it's bigger than a cameo, but it's small. It's not even a small role. It's like an extended cameo.
Yeah.
In this movie, he's 100% making fun of himself. Mm-hmm. Like, he plays himself, and it's hysterical. It's totally over the top. It's totally ridiculous. And it's consistent with what you were saying, like, totally making fun of himself. But I think when you look at, like, some of these other roles that he's been picking, and I think him being in Eternals confirms that he's just kind of settling in, and he's not trying to do more than he is. He's not trying to be more than he is. Mm-hmm. He's just being a good, solid action star.
Yeah.
You know, good, yeah. solid movie actor.
Yeah. If only they could move John Wick, like, straight over tomorrow. You know?
Oh, my God.
Just blend it. That's the Black Widow movie introduces that she was from that ballet.
Oh, and that then would be so great.
Just mixes it all together.
The Avengers staying at the Continental.
Have you seen the memes where it's, like, Thanos doing the snap, and then it's John Wick's dog?
No.
To dust. And then he says, oh, shit.
No, that's great.
All right. You added some things on here. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to let you know. Fucko.
Watch out.
I'm going to let you know how it is.
Okay.
I'm going to lead off with some hard-hitting news straight out of Ephrata, Pennsylvania.
Oh, snap, crackle, and
this,
pop.
This has not even been released to the public yet.
What?
This is breaking news.
Right here.
Right here, right now, as we speak. Breaking news.
Penn Cinema. Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Right.
send your ad hoc to us.
Right. All right. Breaking news out of Ephrata.
Uh-huh.
Now, background so that you can appreciate the breaking news. Last year at the farm show, Ephrata revived an old tradition it had of bringing in local people from the community. Like high-profile sort of people from about town.
Yeah.
To participate in a cow milking contest.
Oh, snap.
They called me. I own a little two-screen movie theater up there in Ephrata. I'm pretty big deal. pretty big deal up there. So they call me and they're like, Penn, we want you to milk the cow.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, there's no possible way that I'm milking a cow. And they laughed, and then I was like, no, seriously, I'm not milking a cow. And then they laughed, and then I was like, no, for real. So they finally got it in their heads, I'm not milking the cow. But what they did was they asked me if I would MC the cow milking contest, Master of Ceremonies.
Whoa.
So breaking news right here, right now, the 2019 second 45th annual cow milking contest. Penn Ketchum will be reprising his role as the master of ceremonies for the Ephrata Fair cow milking contest.
Reprising? When did you do it before?
I did it last year in 2018.
Oh.
They asked me to milk the cow and I said no. So they said, will you MC it? I said yes. I MC'd it.
What?
It was a big hit. I dressed up in my tuxedo.
Oh.
My tuxedo.
Tuxedo.
Yep. And I wore my friend Andy Fosnaught hooked me up with the purple Ephrata mounts. Is that the right?
I don't know. I didn't go to school at Ephrata.
I think it is. Anyway, I know it's purple because I got it. The Ephrata baseball hat. I'm pretty sure it's the mounts. And I got all dressed up. I wore my James Bond tuxedo, the white tuxedo shirt, jacket, and I emceed the hell out of this event.
Whoa.
It was brilliant. So I'm really pleased to announce I'm coming back.
This is big news.
These are real cows, too. That's real, where the milk comes from.
Oh, is that where it comes from?
I always thought it was like a gag. I thought it was like a joke. They really...
So why won't you milk the cows?
Dude, I'm not... David.
Yeah.
I'm not milking a cow. I don't milk cows and I don't do dunk tanks.
Oh, those are the two, I mean, because they're so similar.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Closest we had to cows in Brooklyn was the cows on the container of Ben and Jerry's, which we always thought were like decorative.
That can't be where the milk comes from.
So I heard a great story I'll share with our listeners. So there was this old timer in the cow milking contest, and he was telling me, we were making small talk before the event started. He was telling me that when he was a kid, his dad was in the cow milking contest. Apparently they stopped doing it for a number of years, but years ago it was like a big thing. And the dad rigged up a bladder in his overalls and filled the bladder with chocolate milk. And then when he was milking the cow, he rigged it so that all the chocolate milk would go in the bucket. I don't even know what the hell they're doing out on these farms. But the cow comes straight out of the milk comes straight out of the cow.
Yeah.
Into
the
bucket.
The chocolate milk comes from the brown cows.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I saw this on here earlier and I was like, cow milking contest? What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Penn Cinema podcast, we cover it all.
All of it.
I mean, you are well informed. You listen to this podcast, you're up to date.
What time of the day does this thing happen?
Oh, it's like in the afternoon on like a Saturday or something like that.
So, like a casual working man could come to this.
Yeah, you should definitely come to it. And then we'll walk over to they have like the food trucks and you get some French fries and. It's a great time, man. The Effort Affair is for real.
Now tell me, does Amy dress in like a red sequin dress to like stand next to you like the Bond girl?
Amy, I'm going to suggest that this year. Okay. I think that's a fantastic idea.
Like fully do the Bond thing up.
If I can't get her to do it, we'll get somebody else to do it. We'll get a whole bunch.
And don't look at me.
If I remember correctly, I feel like Amy and the girls were acting like they didn't know me. I think this
is
one. Pretty
normal.
I was going to say, I think this is one of the many times when they sort of like watch from a safe distance. Who's that dude over there in the tuxedo with the cows? I don't know. Yeah. So
okay.
I wanted to share that.
Well,
that's hot off the presses.
Bigger than Clifford.
So you know what I do on Mondays? I deal with studios.
Right.
We book movies. The movie week goes from Friday to Thursday. Mm-hmm. So the movie opens Friday. It does Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You call that a three-day gross. On Monday mornings, I come in and print out reports for all three theaters, and we sort of see the grosses, and then that's when I book for the following Friday. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly based on grosses, but it's also based on, like, for example, if there's a comedy sort of at the bottom of the gross, but there's no other comedies in the building, I might choose to keep it. You know, whereas if there's four comedies and one's at the bottom, I'm just going to get rid of it. Hmm. So anyway, that's sort of part of the process. And it's really interesting this week because there's so much good content out.
Yeah.
So this week we're opening that documentary about the caddies called Loopers.
Oh, yeah.
And we're opening that Tomorrow Man movie with, I think, Jonathan Lithgow.
Tomorrow Man.
Look it up. Podcast at Penn Cinema, The Tomorrow Man. It's a smaller indie movie, but I think it's going to do really well. They actually moved it up. Sometimes when a movie looks weak, they push it back. This movie was scheduled to open limited June 14th. We're getting it June 7th now. I think they want to give it a few weeks before it gets crushed by the July holidays. But my point is, with recliners, there's fewer seats, mm-hmm. which puts pressure on the theaters to use more screens. So where I might have been able to put, you know, a movie like Dark Phoenix in one big theater, now I need two theaters to achieve the same number of seats. So there's an increasingly huge pressure for screens. And what I'm starting to see, and we saw it really clearly today, there was a lot of pressure. Lionsgate wants me to hold John Wick at Huntington Valley. But I'm not going to hold it. We don't need it. And they had the guts. This is like sort of typical Hollywood. I have two prints of Secret Life of Pets playing because I think that's going to be the number one movie this weekend. And they said, well, why don't you just come off the one print? why don't you go down to one? What the? So it's really interesting as we get into the summer, it's going to get even more and more crowded.
Yeah.
And I'm really bracing myself dealing with these studios because they are getting pushier and pushier and more aggressive for the content that they want in each theater. And it's really intense to see it, you know. When they start having opinions about other studios, they're not just saying, hey, you should keep my picture. They're saying, hey, you should get rid of that other picture. You know, and now they want you to start to justify, okay, well, what do you have on your 7 screens? What do you have on your 15 screens? And how many prints of Secret Life are you opening? How many prints of Dark Phoenix are you opening? Mm. And they're starting to make you justify every single screen. And it's just getting really intense. And I think with this year, the rest of 2019, the first quarter was awful. But the rest of the remainder of the calendar year, I think, is going to be one of the biggest calendar years in the history of the movies. And the pressure to book screens, I think it's going to get intense.
So this brings me to another part of our conversation is how much longer does Endgame have?
Okay. Endgame is still playing clean.
Okay.
Which means, well, actually, it's final in Huntington Valley.
Okay.
Which is interesting. But it played 7 weeks in Huntington Valley, and then it's done. I think it at least has another month.
Here?
Yeah.
In Lititz?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and Wilmington. I think Endgame holds till the 4th of July crew comes out.
All right.
Till Toy Story. No, Toy Story is June 21st. I think Endgame holds into July. That's my prediction.
Okay. Yep. We need like a 2-week warning if we're going to do our party.
Yeah.
So.
It's too long to do like a double feature. I was going to say, we could do like a party where we watch a new movie and then everybody stays and watches Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
That's going to be tough to swing.
Yes, that's 5 hours of movies. All right, so the last thing we got on here, you said Disney-Fox merger taking names. Elaborate.
So my buddy, he's not really my buddy, but my rep from Disney told me today or
we
told me
a
few days ago.
He's like, I'm not his buddy.
You don't listen to us. They're not listening to us, I guarantee you. All right, podcast at Penn Cinema. If you work for Disney or Fox, let me know.
Let me know.
But so the film rep that I deal with told me a few days ago that he lost his job. He's going to be at Disney till August. But his position was eliminated with the merger with Fox.
Oh.
No news from my guy at Fox. Like, is he taking over the Disney bookings?
Oh.
So it's really
thought it would have gone the other way.
I totally thought it was going to go the other way. And the other thing that's interesting is, wouldn't you think Disney is a big enough company that you wouldn't eliminate a job, you would just sort of relocate this person to a different division?
Right. Right. Yeah.
There's like when Paramount closed all their East Coast offices, nobody lost their jobs. They either moved to their offices in Hollywood or they were relocated to a different division.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know.
That's crazy.
So it's getting real with these studios. It's really an intense time to be a studio exec.
Mm. Well, since we are pretty much all the way up there.
Yeah. So the last bit of news, hot off the presses.
Oh, yeah.
Not Jurassic Park 3, but Jurassic World 3.
Yeah.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Dream.
Ron Howard's daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
She let it slip, or at least she didn't correct them when they said, are you getting the gang back together? So this would be the Jurassic Park cast reuniting in Jurassic World 3.
I love it.
I love it.
You think they get the kids? I mean, they're adults now.
Okay, so that's an interesting point. Where are they?
I don't think the girl acts anymore.
That was my question.
Yeah. But maybe, I mean, there's one thing that moves everything in
money.
Hollywood. Money. So maybe she's back. I don't know. Wow. You know what? I really like Jurassic World. I didn't like Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. But they could swing it back around with number 3.
I'm trying to think of somebody to throw under the bus. And I'm coming up empty. But there's a joke in there somewhere about, like, you don't have to act to be in the to be in the movie.
To be in the movie.
There's plenty of people making movies, making millions of dollars, and not acting in the movie.
Tell us who's doing that. Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Right, right.
All right, let's get into trailers.
Oh, man. What a great list.
I know.
Including an awful one.
Let's start off with the worst one on the list. Project Ithaca. This movie looks like it was made with four green screens and a bunch of college kids.
Yeah, yeah. Is this a real movie?
Yeah. And like, it was on this list. I was looking at the, they're like, great upcoming sci-fi films.
I couldn't find a studio with it.
It had some at the bottom at the end, and I don't remember what they were. But it's...
Wait, did you read them? Did it say, like, David Moulton Productions?
Probably. Chris Hall. Chris Hall Productions.
Pirate Dave Studios. PDS.
Yes. This movie looks so... I mean, there was one cool effect where people's faces were, like, replaced with a silver screen thing that was kind of
cool. It
was
the Matrix.
Yeah, basically, it's like aliens come, and then... they put you in the Matrix.
Somebody with no storytelling skills whatsoever figured out how to do the Matrix special effects and put together a movie around that.
Yeah. But barely do the Matrix special effects.
Right, right, right. Like, just the easy parts.
They had like, it's like they had a bunch of actors. They were like, well, Susie has a bad back and Frank has a bum leg. But they both like to act. And then, how can we? I got it. We'll have them lay on this bed and just like shake and look like they're upset a lot and then say that they're going through mental trauma.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Right?
It's like you were there.
Yeah. But David Bolt Productions. Right. I work for Chris Hall Productions. Right. All right. So
the rest of these
pretty good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm on board with pretty much all of them. So
Goldfinch.
Mm hmm.
John Crowley. Would you know that name if I just said to you the director John Crowley? Would you know who that was? No.
I would not.
Yeah,
me remember neither. That I also couldn't remember who Anthony Daniels was the other week. So.
Noted. C-3PO, for those of you not following.
Right.
So John Crowley is a famous director. Anthony Daniels, of course, the... C-3PO. I didn't want people to get confused walking around going, Penn said John Crowley played C-3PO, and now he's a director. Because that is the kind of stupid thing I would say.
Yeah.
But I didn't say it today. Now, here's the thing. Do you remember that? Did you see this movie, Brooklyn?
No, but I remember the trailer for it.
It's a beautiful, beautiful movie. So good. I always forget about it. But I loved this movie. I've watched it a few times. I saw it in the theater. I watched it again in the theater just because it was so beautifully shot and such a touching story. And then I've seen it at home a few times. So the director, he did Brooklyn, and now he's got this movie, Goldfinch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Couple things. First off, Jeffrey Combs? Jeffrey, the guy from Westworld.
Yes.
Is amazing.
Wow.
And I've been wanting to get him in more movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been trying so hard.
You're doing your part.
Yeah. I'm glad to see it because I think he's amazing in everything he does. Then two, this movie, from what I get, is about a boy who survives some sort of bomb attack where his mother does not. And then the story takes place over several portions of his life growing up with that trauma. What I thought was amazing that came across in this trailer is the different actors that play this boy. Every single one of them looked like they were doing a stellar job.
Yeah.
Like, not a single one of these looked like, oh, that's a flashback kid. Like, what every single one of them looked like they could have carried the movie. And I find that really impressive. Really impressive.
Yeah, this movie comes out September 13th, and I think it's going to be incredible. This is the kind of movie that makes me love September.
Mm.
You know, because it's not big enough to be, you know, a blockbuster or, you know, whatever. It's not a tent pole, but it's going to be an amazing movie. My question is, from the trailer, is there a twist? Is there a little twist in there?
Well, I mean, sound like Jeffrey whatever was saying something to at the end. It sounded like he might be the cause of something or I don't.
There's a twist.
There's something's going on.
Yeah, because they start dusting off a folder that has a picture of a goldfinch on it.
Yeah.
I suspect something. I can't wait to find out what it is.
This looks good.
Next, In Fabric.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't look great, but I can't wait to see What do you think?
Okay.
While you're gathering your thoughts, let me finish my thought process.
Yeah.
This is a movie about the attack of the killer dress. So there's no way I could take this movie seriously, but it reminded me of the old school House of Wax horror museum, you know, type of thing. And I just think this movie looks scary as hell and ridiculous. I mean, it's like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, but Attack of the Killer Dress. What's going on?
It looked the premise is ridiculous.
Right.
Over the top ridiculous. But then watching the trailer, I was like, this actually kind of looks like a psychological, like it could be a pretty cool psychological thriller. Like some of the visuals look really creepy. And I was totally on board. And then at the end, did you watch the trailer through the credit part? There's like a hand that pops up. And I'm like, well, I'm out. I was like, that seemed the hokiest thing in the world. I was like,
I don't get it. Why are you out? Too hokey?
Well, I'm not totally out. Yeah. I'm just of this trailer, I was like,
Just in case we have a listener who doesn't think that's the premise. The dress. This woman buys a dress, and the dress is the villain.
It's trying to kill her.
The dress.
Yeah. It has a curse or something.
Not a monster in the dress. The dress.
Yeah. And they don't quite explain it. Like, I guess at one point, like, she takes the dress off, but she's got, like, burn marks on her.
Right.
And then she tries to wash it, and the washing machine, like, blows up.
So this movie looks good. I'm on board. You know what
I want to know more.
I want to know more. You know what I was thinking? I wish this movie was directed by M. Night.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I'd know a little bit more of what I was getting in for.
Somebody should have got him on board. This would have been a great picture for him to do. In 10 years, they'll remake it.
Well, it's an A24, and like you said before, they usually put out some pretty good stuff outside of Under the Silver Lake or whatever, which is like one of their first bombs.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we got The Kitchen, which is based off of an Indigo comic, I think. It's the comic property. I didn't know that originally, but it stars Melissa McCarthy. It's got Tiffany Haddish and Elizabeth Moss. And they are wives or girlfriends or something of mob members who go to jail, and then they decide to take up the mob ring. And what was the name of that movie that came out?
Widows in 2018.
There was a copy of this, but this looks way better.
This is way better.
And I had a hard time understanding, is this supposed to be funny, or is it just going to have funny bits in it?
No, I think it's just going to have funny bits.
Okay. Yeah, because Melissa McCarthy looks pissed.
Yeah.
The whole time.
She's got the thick accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got the, like, Italian mob accent. But then, sort of in the midst of the final credits of the trailer, her and Tiffany Haddish are counting cash, you know, from some illicit, you know, ring that they just took in all this cash. And she's counting, and she goes, damn, I lost count again. So, yeah, I think it's going to have some humor, some elements to it. But I think this looks like a legit mob movie. With women, and I think it looks awesome. I liked Widows. Widows was good, but this looks 10 times better.
It looks like it has a production.
Yeah.
Like, budget.
Right. Straight out of Compton director. What's the name again? Andrea Berloff.
Yeah.
And that's good.
I'm for this. I think this is going to be cool. And then rounding up our trailers was one that surprised me. Onward, the new Pixar movie. I saw the poster for this, and I thought, geez, this looks stupid. Like, it looks like gnomes or any other, like, I don't know, the little blue, whatever they are. I think they're elves. It just looked – and then I watched the trailer, and I was like, this is better than I thought it was going to be. This is – I want to see more, but at the same time, I'm not totally convinced on this movie.
I'm a half step behind you.
Okay. All right.
I'm not even remotely convinced.
Whoa.
The only thing that gives me, like, is it safe to say there's never been a bad Pixar movie?
No, because I don't like Up.
Oh, I liked Up.
I've never seen the Cars movies, so I can't judge them. So I can't say there's never, I mean, there's still, I can still say that they're solid movies. They're just not for me, so.
I have a lot of faith in Disney and Pixar, and I think this movie's going to end up being good. But right now, I'm not sold yet. Although, I mean, my reaction to this was like, what even is this?
Yeah,
you know, like unicorns? Like,
The idea is that fairyland, but then time goes and society evolves to be just like ours. but it's Fairyland.
The store, the main character, the star, the main character is played by Chris Pratt.
No, Tom Holland.
Oh, who plays Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt plays his brother
his
in the
brother.
Truck. Yeah.
Okay. So I was watching this trailer, and because I was bored, I scrolled down to read the comments. And there was an absolute brilliant comment. And it goes like this. It has a little pretend conversation. Like, remember when Pirate Dave told us the conversation between Sony and Disney?
Yeah.
Sequel money click. So Disney calls up Chris Pratt and says, hey, you know that Thor impression you did in Infinity War? And Chris Pratt says, sayeth no more. So, like, yeah, is Chris Pratt playing Thor in an animated
movie? Yeah. Well, part of the trailer that got me, like, I was kind of like, eh, but was when he goes to throw out the trash and then the unicorns are like raccoons.
Right.
And that's the part I was like, okay, this could be
fun.
Yeah,
this could work.
Yeah. So that's a weird one. But let's move on to weekend news. What's going on at the theaters this weekend?
Godzilla, strong number one. I think on the strength of IMAX. The IMAX numbers, I didn't look up the percentages, but I would anecdotally say from what we saw this weekend that Godzilla's $49 million, which put it ahead of the number two movie, Aladdin. Aladdin came in at $42 million. Godzilla's $49 million had to be on the strength of IMAX because there was a lot of people. This was a great movie in IMAX. And Rocketman, solid $25 million. And Ma, $18 million, but they only spent $5 million to make it. So I guess that's a win.
That's a win, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I keep forgetting that Rocketman came out. You know, did you see it?
No, I'm dying to. This was another case of, like, my children win out over the podcast.
Children.
They're the worst. No, because I had planned in my mind, like, in the back of my mind, I thought, ooh, I'm going to watch Rocketman this morning so that I can talk about it on the podcast. But then I was hanging out with Marley and Kayla, and they were like, let's watch it, and probably Mom wants to see it, and then Amy said she wanted to see it, so we all want to see this, so I'm hanging out waiting to see it till I can see it with them.
Familia.
Familia. Hey. Hey. So anyway, the last kind of interesting thing, curious what you think about this, our favorite movie, Booksmart,
yeah,
is not winning.
What, people are not liking it, or they're just not seeing it?
I think people just aren't seeing it. I haven't talked to anybody who didn't love it.
Okay.
But it's done in Huntington Valley, 2 weeks and out.
Wow.
It should have been done in Wilmington, except for the fact that we had room for it, so I kept it.
Wow.
I'm keeping it in lit. It's pretty much only because I loved it so much.
So, what about Brightburn?
Brightburn.
Gone. Wow.
2 weeks and out.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
I don't have a clear report on Brightburn. I mean, I saw it. You didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Too many movies, not enough time.
Yeah. I liked it, but I can understand why it didn't. I don't think people want people messing around with Superman.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I also don't think it was sold.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
Like the premise of it. And yeah. I don't know. All right. Well, we have a movie to talk about.
Yeah,
so spoilers for Godzilla.
A big one.
From here on. So, okay. Big one. Godzilla.
King of the Monsters.
King of the Monsters. What did you think of this movie?
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Totally loved it. Yep.
I'm 100% on board. I went into this movie thinking, meh, you know, it's just like a summer movie.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, whatever. And then I think it was, I don't know if it was when Mothra showed up or probably maybe it was even when Rodan showed up. I don't know. But I loved the way they did the monsters in this movie. Mm. And it just totally made it for me because they're CG, of course, but they're done in a way that makes them almost look rubbery, like, like classic suit type.
A little wink and a nod back to the old days.
Yeah. And I liked that. They didn't try to make them look so hyper real that they looked ridiculous. Mm. That they're like a little bit on the goofy-ish side, and I loved that.
They're like, we're still making a monster movie,
right?
At the end of the day, this is a monster movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had fun. I thought the human stuff was whatever, but it still wasn't. It wasn't like the last time where, for more than half the movie, you only saw Godzilla through like TV screens or at the back of the doors closing and it's outside or whatever. Like this was like Godzilla all over the place all the time. So what are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Bradley Whitford. Right, he played Josh Lyman. Like, you know, what would have been really fun. Josh Lyman was a character from West Wing.
West Wing,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would have been really fun because the character that he played in this movie had the exact same personality, you know, and it interacted with his fellow characters on screen the exact same way Josh Lyman did in West Wing. I think it would have been really funny if they made it out like, well, President Bartlett, like, you know, finally left office and everybody moved on to various consulting jobs and Josh Lyman ended up at, you know, Monsters, Inc. You know, and he's down there. I thought it would have been great if they just named him Josh Lyman.
And he's the one that delivers the line, "My God,
Zilla."
Yeah. And when that went off, like the groan laughter in the theater was so real.
Right,
it was great.
No, I loved this movie. I'll even give it a little bit higher marks because I thought the human story, I mean, the mom, she's good, she's bad. You love her, you hate her, you want her to die, you want her to live. I felt so conflicted about what I wanted for that character.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well done. I thought it was really totally unpredictable, you know, and I didn't see that coming, that she was in on the whole kidnapping thing.
I love that we've reached a point in this film, because the first one, I didn't see Skull Island, but the first one was very much like, real world, what if Godzilla attacked?
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And this one, Godzilla's attacked already. Kong exists. And they're like, BT Dubs, this monster's from space. And everyone just doesn't like, they're like, oh, okay.
That explains it.
Yeah. So it's an alien. Okay, cool.
that answers a lot of questions. That actually makes sense.
Yeah. So the other monsters are controlled by it because it's an alien. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
They're terrestrial. All right, cool. I was like, when I thought about it, I was like, oh, that's a big leap, but they're cool with it. They're totally cool with it.
I thought there was an even bigger leap.
Yeah?
I thought there was an even bigger leap.
Whoa.
Yeah. The leap that I had a little trouble getting over was this.
Airlifting all of Boston out through Fenway Park in 2 hours.
I like how, I like how there's like a couple hundred people in a little orderly line like walking through the infield. And then like 30 minutes later, not only are all of Boston evacuated, but like the infield's like pretty much all cleaned up.
Yeah, there's nothing left inside.
And I also like how they brought a fire truck in into the infield.
Why?
To help everybody get out? Were they worried somebody was gonna like something bust? No, my bigger problem with this movie is the whole concept of like the orca.
Yeah.
Being able to control like. So she can control, she sort of sets up this little remote control and she can dial them up and dial them down. And like, I found that a little tough.
Yeah. Swallow. I don't think at any point, like it's supposed to be that they have full control, but more like, well, maybe they do kind of allude to that.
Well, they totally allude to it. And and that leads to another problem. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit anticlimactic at the end. Like, if all we had to do was really juice up Godzilla and then he would just squash the alien monster, like there wasn't really a fight. It was just like keep Godzilla alive long enough to survive the fight until we could juice him and then he squishes the bad guy.
Right.
And roll credits.
He went nuclear and then exploded several times onto him.
Right. Didn't he go nuclear underwater too?
Well, no, that they set the nuke off.
Right.
Well, here's my problem.
Get into it.
So they follow Godzilla to, like, Atlantis.
That was so cool.
Right?
Yeah. I thought that was awesome. That was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah. And then, so they follow him to sort of like Atlantis, where it's his, like, his lair, where he sits.
So cool.
And for some reason, it's not really explained, but it kind of alluded that the Atlanteans built this thing to, like, funnel radiation to him, mm-hmm. or they built it around the thing bringing radiation to him, and he's resting, soaking up radiation.
He's recharging.
Right. And then they set a nuke off in his recharge zone. Okay, but if this place was constructed and to bring radiation to him, they now just nuked it. So will it work anymore? Like, is the layer still there? Because sure, the nuke doesn't blow up Godzilla, but what about all the things bringing the lava to him and all that stuff? Am I overthinking? The answer is yes.
Yes. I just pictured Godzilla swallowing the nuke like the way Popeye swallows a can of spinach.
Well, that's what they should have put it in his mouth, and then they'd be like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
It went off in his mouth. Yeah.
But I liked the actor who, like, did the self-sacrifice to swim.
Ken Watanabe.
Ken Watanabe, yes. First of all, I love him and everything he does. He was great in Inception.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that scene. I thought it was very touching. He finally was like, because he was sticking up for Godzilla the whole movie, mm-hmm. you know, and finally made the ultimate sacrifice to get Godzilla at least the strength to go get in the fight.
Right.
So what happened after the fight? Like, they got him strength to go get in the fight, but then what happened? They set off another nuke that really recharged him?
No. So after they set the nuke off, they say that he's building, like, he has too much energy, and he's building up to critical mass where he's gonna release all this nuclear energy out of himself.
Gotcha.
Like, and so that's why they're like, we've got to get away from him before he explodes. Right. All that extra waste energy off. And so that's why when he's attacking him, he starts glowing red and goes, and you know, he's able to.
How did he go?
I do sound effects for movies.
Yes,
I don't know if you know.
I feel like I'm in the movie.
So that's what, like, he was overcharged. Plus, he had the extra energy from Mothra.
When
she dies, her, like, energy flows down.
That was the key. That was the big difference.
Yeah, and so a few nods to things like Godzilla lore that I enjoyed. One, Mothra is a immortal, like, deity, and she dies, like, every time, and then is reborn in the next movie. Like, the egg just, like, reforms and she rehatches. But bigger than that, in every time that Mothra's made an appearance in any type of media since the first time, she has had twins that represent, like, her connection to the world. And they just, it's like a blink and you miss it thing where Zhang Zi played twin doctors that were involved with it. And they were supposed to represent the twins that connect Mothra to reality. So, did you catch that?
I did not. I missed it.
So, like, you know, Zhang Zi was short hair,
right,
with the main character. But then, when Mothra's in her cocoon, they're like Dr. Lin or whatever.
Yeah.
And they go out at Zhang Zi with long hair, and then later she says, "I come from a long line, a third or fourth generation," and it's a picture of her family lineage, and it's all twins, women, and then it's her with her twin. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
So anyway.
I love that kind of stuff. I love, like, a good little wink and a nod to the audience.
Right.
To, like, the real fans.
Right. How do you feel about all the other, like, crazy monsters being out in the world now?
I thought it's great.
Yeah.
I love the way they set it up for Kong. What's next one? Skull Island 2. Or
Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you saw, did you watch the Stinger?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it possible that we'll see Mecha King Ghidorah, whatever his name is.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous.
This was a fun movie all the way through the credits and the stinger. Like, I loved how they did the credits, the way they rolled sort of like the news footage mm-hmm. and everything like that. That was cool.
Yeah. Like, there's another Mothra egg and like of the other things. I really like this movie. It's one of those things that's like, I'm not like jonesing to watch it again right now, but I will watch it again at some point.
It makes me more. I knew I was going to like it. I loved it. It makes me excited for Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah.
And probably I won't watch it again till then.
Right. Yeah. It's very much like it's own thing, but at the same time, it's a setup movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's really setting the new universe. So anyway, we're on board.
Good right? stuff. We're on board. Okay. 100%.
All right. Thus concludes our Godzilla review. Now on to listener notes.
We should spring for some sound effects.
We really do. I looked into like a, you wanted a board. I looked into a board and they were ridiculous sound effect boards. Pirate Dave, he came to your rescue.
Yes.
He's talking about, last week you were talking about the Sopranos movie.
Yeah.
He said Gandolfini's son is playing young Tony.
Yeah.
So they're keeping it in the blood.
And the name of the movie is Newark.
Newark.
Because it takes place in Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. It confirms. I was nervous. I sort of knew all this, but I thought it was, I was nervous that I had fallen for some kind of fake news like I'm prone to do.
Right.
And, but yeah, so thanks, Dave, for confirming that.
Someone said something to me the other day and they're like, is this real? Check with Penn. And I was like, I don't know. If it's fake, he'll probably think it's real anyway.
Check with Penn. He's just going to ask me.
So anyway.
So last week, you and I, especially me, kind of went nuts on the critics.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bashing the movie critics.
Mm.
Rightly so.
Because they're movie critics. Right. Nothing like us.
Right.
We're just critical.
Right. So John Oliver wrote in and made a really compelling case. He raised a really interesting point, and now I'm putting it in my own words, but this, he sent me a pretty good detailed long email, which I really appreciated, and he sort of made the point, like, any one critic can be pretty useless, but if you have critics that you sort of consistently turn to and you take a bunch of them sort of into consideration, it can paint a picture for you of what the movie is. And whether or not you want to spend your $13 or your $13.50 or whatever, or go to IMAX and spend like $100 and see this movie. You know what I mean? And he sort of made the point, like, hey, going out to the movies is a luxury, you know, and it's not something any of us, you know, sort of afford to do every single day. And we don't want to waste our money on a bum movie.
Right.
And also, and it's not just that, because that's sort of oversimplifying, but it's also knowing what you look for in a movie and knowing where you can go to look for people who are sensitive to those traits. So, for example, if you're real sensitive to gun violence or language or something, you can find sort of different websites out there that review movies with an eye for that particular element of the movie, which could be really valuable for people who have certain passions about wanting to know what's gonna, what they're looking at.
Right.
But even for people who don't, you don't necessarily have to have one critic, but if it's kind of like that old thing, like if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and, you know, quacks like a duck. And so, yeah, if 10 critics are all for their own different reasons saying something, that paints a picture. So I really appreciate John saying that. And I agree with him completely. There is a place for that and there is a value in that. The only thing I would offer, what freaks me out sometimes is I feel like it's a I don't want to say echo chamber because that makes you feel like you're talking about cable news. But I feel like a lot of times I worry that one bad review influences the next bad review, influences the next, and so on. But anyway, I appreciated John writing that and raising that valuable.
And this is John Oliver from Last Week Tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My buddy. I'm sure he's never heard that before.
Probably never. Yeah.
Big news out of the Ketchum House.
Oh my god.
Listener notes.
Bigger than cow milking.
Right. Bigger than this is breaking news.
Okay.
We have a new listener.
Oh snap.
My daughter Marley.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant University of Delaware student, recently rocking the 3.72 GPA.
Oh snap.
She discovered the Penn Cinema podcast. God help her.
Oh my word.
She doesn't stand a chance now.
Oh my gosh.
She can kiss that GPA goodbye.
How did what brought her in?
Well, here's what happened.
Because you would think
she would know better.
This is my dad, I don't want anything to do with it.
I was gonna say you would think that she would know better.
Yeah. That too. Yeah.
You know.
I thought you raised her right.
Right. Apparently we went wrong somewhere. She was looking for, she didn't have her headphones, so she didn't want to blast people around her with music, but she felt like she could get away listening to a podcast, and she was searching for a good podcast. And then in the absence...
Somehow made a mistake.
In the absence of a decent podcast, she found her way here.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's been listening backwards. And she's a big fan. She told me she's a big fan. So shout out to Marley Bear.
What's up, Marley? How you doing? Because I knew she was listening because she was like, when I saw her the other day, she was like, oh, I'm sorry that he chose me over you. And I was like, what is she talking about?
You're getting them mixed up again. That was Kayla.
What? No.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Because remember the whole thing with Kayla when we wanted to see, I forget what movie it was, and I told you I didn't watch it because I wanted to watch it with her.
But I could have sworn it was Marley that said that to me.
Maybe it was. Maybe she was just messing with you.
I would not put it past her. Right. All right.
All right. What are you up to?
Okay. So this week was a big week for me dipping into the dark side. I watched.
You went dark.
I went dark.
That's good.
Extremely wicked, shockingly evil and vile. Ted Bundy movie. I got ideas. I got thoughts about this. Did you watch this?
No, everyone tells me I should.
It's on Netflix.
Is it amazing?
I wouldn't say it's...
In a horrible way?
I wouldn't say it's amazing, but I think it's a really interesting look at the Ted Bundy thing. Because they make this movie in a way to make you feel kind of semi-sympathetic. Mm. But I don't think that that's their goal. Mm. While I was watching it, I was like, I don't understand what's going on here. Am I supposed to feel for him? Because, like... They don't spend a lot of time, too much time on, like, the facts and stuff. It really does follow him and the girl that – because I think it's based on a book written by – if I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was written by his girlfriend that he when he was arrested. Liz, whatever her name is. And at first I was like, were we supposed to be sympathetic to him? But I think what they were going for was to show how manipulative – he was at the time, because you can, you know, anyone can be like, oh, people fell for this. And they talk about how like women went and cheered for him in the courtroom and stuff. And I think that they were really trying to show how easy it is to get fooled by this guy. Mm. Because then at the end, then they're like, no, wait, hold up. He's a horrible person. Right. Like after spending all this time, like maybe it's like, no, wait, he's terrible. So, and it's because of that, that I was like, I kind of dig what they did here. You know, they chose Zac Efron to play him. He doesn't really necessarily look like him, but he's a handsome
dude.
He's likable. Yeah, he's likable, handsome dude. So you can get why women would be crazy about him or whatever. So anyway, and then that got me into – I just started the Ted Bundy tapes, which is like a documentary about these recordings that these guys did with him. And it's only four episodes. I'm into the – I've watched the first one, and so far I'm hooked. Like I'm down. Apart from that, what am I reading? Well, The Orbital Sword is currently reading Nemesis Games by James S.A. Corey for our recording next week. And this is book five of the why can't I think? It starts with an A, the show on Amazon. Expanse doesn't start with an A. It starts with an E. So it's the fifth book in the Expanse series. And I have loved every single one, and this one's turning out to be the same. So,
what's The Orbital Sword?
The Orbital Sword is another podcast I have. It's a monthly book club where we switch between sci-fi and fantasy. And we have a poll. People can vote on what they want us to read the next time. So orbitalsword.com, and it's me and Scott Herzog. And Jim Arrowwood, good old Nebraska Jim. Going to be running your theater out there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
So, and we started off doing the Dune podcast.
Okay.
And when we finished with Dune, we moved over to General.
What do you mean finished with Dune?
Well.
There's no such thing as finished with Dune.
We're still putting the DuneSagaPodcast.com. We're still putting out Dune episodes, but it's about the movie.
Gotcha.
We read all the books. We reviewed all the books. So until new content comes out, it's kind of just sitting on the wayside. So anyway, what have you been up to?
I'm taking a much lighter spin.
Really? So you're not watching serial killer stuff constantly?
We're like the yin and the yang, you know, over here. I'm living on the light side here.
Yeah.
So I fell in love with this movie.
Yeah.
Always Be My Maybe. I love this movie. I want to watch it again.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Not really, but really, like, it was almost perfect. you know Randall Park? Like, I wouldn't know who he was, but if you Google Randall Park, you'll recognize him. He's been in a ton of movies.
And he's funny.
And he's funny as hell. And this movie is so, like, beautiful and well done and predictable. But it's okay because it's so wonderful. It's really, I thought it was a great movie. You can compare it to like 16 other movies, but you don't even care because it's so funny.
Okay.
Really, really good. And so that's on, I believe, Netflix, Always Be My Maybe.
Yeah.
And that's where I was talking about the Keanu Reeves cameo.
Chris All Productions recommended that I watch this as well.
Oh, is that right?
I told him, I think I was with him and I got your text where you were like, oh my gosh. He's like, everyone's talking about that. He's like, Penn was right. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having my back, man. Appreciate that. And then I read a book.
Right. Not Dune.
Not Dune.
Because heaven forbid.
Not yet. I don't want to crack that just yet. I don't want to get started on that too early. What's up, Jamie? I almost don't want to read it until Jamie reads it.
Well, she's reading them chronologically, so she's like six books away from this
book. I thought she said she didn't get past the second page.
No, that was Mennonite Separation, Becky.
Oh, Becky, my bad.
Yeah.
All right.
So she's got to read more for you to read
mad
more.
Mad love for both of them. But I was talking about Becky.
All right.
If she can't get past page two, I want to hear when she gets to page three. That's what I'm going to
start. Podcast at PennCinema.com, Becky. Hit us up.
What's up? So I bought this book.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to like it. And it was one of those books that I just started reading and then started blowing off all kinds of other commitments so that I could just sit and finish reading this entire book.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Let Your Mind Run by Dina Castor, who's a legendary American marathoner, track star, collegiate star. And she talks about a lot of things, but what's great about this book is the power of positive thinking.
Okay.
And she really talks it's not hokey pokey, touchy feely, sort of feel good nonsense. I mean, it is, but but it's not. You know, she sort of talks about her real experience with that. I tend to be a very positive person, but it was fascinating to sort of hear somebody else articulate why that's so valuable for them and how that relates to the bigger picture of what they're trying to do with their lives. So I just loved this book. It's called Let Your Mind Run. I don't think it's for everybody, but if you have any interest in endurance sports, whether it's running or triathlon or cross-country skiing or, you know, anything that sort of in that ilk, you would love this book, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of watching, I finished Veep.
Okay.
Me and the fam finished Veep.
Did it end well?
I don't, whatever.
So it's done, right?
It's done.
Yeah.
This has happened to me before. I'm so stupid. I can't even believe how dumb I am. But I did not realize this was the series finale. I thought it was the season finale.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Selena Meyer is dead. And they're all going to her funeral. And I'm like, what? It's going to make re-election tricky.
How does this work?
Yeah. So it was the series finale. I mean, I thought it was great. There's very few franchises that wrap up a series well.
Okay.
I liked the end of Sopranos. We both liked the end of Bob Newhart. I liked the end of Cheers. I liked the end of Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard thing to wrap up. But whatever. I loved Veep. My family and I are going to start over again.
La familia.
Yeah, because Kayla missed out on the beginning. So then
okay. We
were all making Richard jokes and Gary jokes and so we're going to watch it again with Kayla. I want to just say, because I don't know if this makes me weird or not. I'm attempting to catch up with everybody and watch Game of Thrones.
Okay. It's only six episodes.
But I'm just not into it.
Well, welcome to everyone else.
Like,
pushing through, being like,
I feel like I'm going to just skip and watch the final episode and see what happens.
You can't.
No good? You'll throw a flag?
How far into it are you? Two pages? did you Becky it?
If it was a book, I Becky'd it. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm about halfway through the first episode of the last season.
Only the first episode?
Yeah.
Okay. The first episode, especially with the whole new world scene. Did you get that far?
I don't know.
Where they're flying around with the dragons?
Whole new world.
you,
all right, I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Like, you've gone this far, right?
And there was a time when I was really into it.
Right. It's just finish it. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Just do it.
All right.
Nike it.
Suck it up.
Yeah.
Still watching Dead to Me.
Still
which,
good.
You know, I'm like middle of the road. It's great. I'm not like compelling. I don't have to like kill myself to keep watching it. But when I have a little downtime and making a sandwich at home or whatever, I'll watch it.
This reminds me. I started watching I Think You Need to Leave. You need to watch it.
All right.
It's like SNL comedy sketches. They're only 17-minute episodes.
Oh, that's just
and
my
it's just,
speed.
It's like they take a joke and then it's funny and then it's not funny and then it's been going for so long it gets funny again. So that's the way it goes.
Okay, so I can also report out I saw the trade screening of Anna.
Yeah.
We should have included this like in trailer reviews maybe.
Oh yeah, okay.
I feel like this isn't really like what are you watching?
Well, yeah, maybe what you do what was going on this weekend or news or so what happened with Anna?
Anna is amazing.
Is it so it lives up to the hype?
Totally lives up to the hype. 100% lives up to the hype.
The hype plus?
I'm not sure. I don't know about Hype Plus.
Yeah.
But it was great.
Okay.
Yeah.
When's this come out?
A couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's
June something.
So, but here's the question on everyone's mind.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Penn this week?
What's your problem?
What's your problem with Penn?
All right. Here's my problem.
Yeah.
I got a problem with everywhere I look now, people are using this word when they want to talk about something. When they want to like examine something and explore something,
uh-huh.
they say, okay, let's unpack what just happened here.
Would you like to unpack that?
Come on. You're such an ass. I can't even stand it. Why would you say that? I just got you saying that's my problem.
I mean, I just want to know more.
I guess you're obligated.
Yeah.
Is this like the new hip word?
Let's unpack.
This is like what everyone says now. Like, I got a problem. Let's unpack this movie.
I feel like it's a buzzword, and it caught on. And someone thought that makes me sound smart.
Right.
Someone on YouTube thought that made me sound smart, and then everyone thinks it makes it
so. Well, let me unpack it for you. Put your shit back in your knapsack and go back to school because nobody's buying it.
As soon as
you start using that word, I think to myself, what an idiot.
Right.
He doesn't know the word examine. He doesn't know like actual vocabulary to articulate what he's trying to say. So he says what he thought he heard on, you know, some TV show recently or radio show or us.
Podcast at PennCinema.com if you want to point out how hypocritical this is. And you're like, they sound so dumb when they use this word. And then Ichabod Elbow. Like, all the trailers that you're like, I think this is real. I think this new Batman movie made out of video game graphics is totally true.
Wait. Stop. Stop the madness. Stop the madness. I do not talk like that.
Subject wise, totally fine.
Content true. I do not talk like I got a mouthful of a ham sandwich.
No. Oh my gosh.
I can't even.
The comedic pause there was too real.
I can't even.
So anything else bothering you this week?
No, I mean, I'm afraid to tell you my problems now, David. I feel like I can't really open up.
It's two different segments. We're having what's your problem with Penn and what's your problem with Penn at the same time.
I don't like either segment anymore. I feel like all of a sudden this is a bad idea. Because isn't it interesting, though? Most of your problems usually do reveal a level of hypocrisy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I get what you're saying with the unpacking.
No, you don't.
But as you're talking, I'm just thinking, like, man, we sound like the biggest the biggest hypocrites.
Wait, here's the difference. We're not trying to pretend that we do know what we're talking about.
I love this show.
I'm not trying to take myself seriously.
I love our show because we're like, don't listen to the critics. By the way, have you heard about this Godzilla movie? Let's tell you what we thought about it and see if you want to go see it.
Could this be it? Did I just ruin episode 19? We had a good run. It was a good run. Now that we've been revealed as the morons that we are. You know what else makes me laugh at myself? I was thinking that we were pretty hot shit.
Oh yeah?
Because we had like 16, 17 episodes in. Now we're recording 19 episodes. Oh, and I'm like, man, that's for real.
Yeah.
This is like, we're like real podcasters.
We haven't missed a week.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So I'm on the train to New York City to see the Anna screening.
Uh-huh.
And I'm scrolling through some podcasts. And they're like, episode 487, episode 283. Oh, never mind.
Everyone starts somewhere.
I'll just shut up.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can do it through Facebook. You can get a hold of us on Twitter. You can get a hold of us through the email. podcast@penncinema.com. I don't think we said that yet this
week. No.
So
join us next week as we unpack The Dark Phoenix.
Oh, super unpackaging. All right. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's okay.